Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Press Coverage, the fourth season of this great show on the Going for Two Live Network. Shout out to Jeff Lambert for the network itself, giving me the show all those years ago. Now, here we are, season four, and my guest for this season four premiere is a Going for Two Live member himself, Jamie Pirog. I should have asked how to say your name.
I usually go Pirog. But
That's what I thought, and then I panicked and said it wrong at the end. So yeah, we talked about everything else. We didn't talk about that. Talked about Dynasty football, talk about all sorts of things. Anyone who knows, or anyone who's on the Going for Two Live Network, watching on the YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, X feeds, they'll see Jamie in the comments almost all the time. Huge supporter here. Also co-host of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet, which every second Tuesday nights, and then every Tuesday nights in season. Well, so off-season schedule for now, which is why, again, press coverage is back here for this March edition. Just snuck it into March, Jamie, but thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here with you.
Oh, yeah, me too. I think one thing from all those comments, sometimes the outrageous stories of Jamie get put out pieced together. Now we're going to get the whole story, unabridged, uncensored, perhaps. Maybe I'll regret saying that.
No, we'll try to keep it clean today.
I was going to say you can never have too much, Jamie.
Hey, look who's in the chat.
Yeah, what a handsome man they're chatting as well. Always Mr. Consistent, right? Mr. Athletic Profile. Or my favorite one is Dan. I still love that one just because alliteration.
The Cleveland awesome. Connoisseur. I love
Cleveland
that.
Cleveland Connoisseur, yeah.
Yep. I need to bring that back.
But yeah, I guess Cleveland sports, and maybe that ties into the very first question. Those listening, remembering, I always ask, first off, what are your first sports memories?
It does tie into the Cleveland sports. It was back in 1987. I was about 5 years old at the time. I was at my great-grandma's house with the whole family. She's always in the kitchen making her Hungarian food. And then we got the family that's just gathering around the TV, just watching the football game. And it was actually the Browns versus the Broncos playoff game. And the Browns were winning most of that game. I know I was young at the time, didn't really understand football. But I remember everyone cheering, you know, we're going to win. But then the second half came and we ended up blowing the game. Like, you know, we're kind of used to that with the Browns now. But back then, you know, we loved the Browns. I wanted to see them win for my first ever memory. Fortunately, they lost, but the good thing is the Broncos went to the Super Bowl that year and lost the Super Bowl, so that was a plus.
Can you say the year again?
I was around 1987. I remember being like five or 6 years old.
I believe could that have been the Doug Williams Super Bowl?
I believe Washington, when I looked it up, because I didn't really find out like what game it actually was until later into my life. When I kind of dug deep into it, when the internet came about, they played Broncos versus Washington that Super Bowl. And I believe Washington won, beat the Broncos.
I believe that is the Doug Williams Super Bowl where I think Denver was up 10-0. And then the second quarter, I think Doug Williams threw four touchdown passes, which is still a Super Bowl record for a single quarter. And they just won the game pretty handily. I think they had like a 200-yard rusher as well. Hmm. If I remember correctly, I think it's Timothy Wright for Washington ran for 205 yards, which I think is still a Super Bowl record.
Wow. So if the Browns even made that Super Bowl, they probably would have lost anyway.
That seemed like a destiny type of thing.
Yeah.
for Washington that year. And certainly it's, Washington sports, they won like three Super Bowls within like less than a decade span. I think it was like 8 or 9 years, and like all three different quarterbacks too. So they just found a way to keep, no matter who the quarterback was, just build a team. I think a lot of the offensive linemen and the receiving core were the same in the defense. Certainly. So if you have a team, put any quarterback in there, even a Canadian quarterback, Mark Rypien, I think was Super Bowl MVP, the final one, which was, sorry, I guess other Canadians who are Bills fans, because that started that, train of awfulness. And yeah, I guess so. Cleveland's kind of close to Canada. At least you certainly think.
Yeah, we're not
close.
Too far away.
You've designated yourself a Canadian at times.
Yep. Yeah, it depends on how I feel like I want to identify myself.
Canada just won the Women's World Curling Championship, so it'd be a good time to jump on the Canadian bandwagon.
Oh, there we go.
They beat Switzerland in the final, and Switzerland was going for 5 straight gold medals, so that was ended that streak there. But I certainly Algar Beige. I don't know if I'm garbage at saying names like this, so sorry. Yeah, I'm really excited about having you, Jamie. Mm-hmm. And certainly I am too. So yeah,
speaking of Canada, I got my Labatt Blue right here.
Ah, there you go. This is blue, but it's just water. nothing beats water. That was bad. But yeah, so Cleveland sport. It's funny because I know that there's yeah, he certainly is the best. I agree, and certainly helping to get the story here. So yeah, Cleveland Browns. It's funny because that was maybe one of the most successful times of the franchise since you've been alive.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, mid-90s, we had, before our team was stolen, we had a good run going.
Yeah, I could have had Bill Belichick and Ray Lewis on the same team.
Yep.
That would have, yeah, that could have, that could have definitely won a Super Bowl for sure. So sorry, Browns. yeah, I guess, you basketball fan? Because at least the Cleveland Cavaliers came through.
Not really. I just kind of stopped watching basketball in like the 2000s. Like once LeBron left, I was done. Kind of gave up on it. And then he came back, and then I watched it again. Won us the championship, but then he left again.
So, yeah. Okay, touchy subject. We won't go any more basketball. We'll rebound away from there. That's not how that works. But yeah, I know one thing, like I've heard other podcasts, Browns fans especially, not just Browns fans, I think Jets fans, and I'm a Packers fan, so I'll tank on Bears fans too. And Lions fans for the longest time. Man, my team just isn't winning enough, so I had to play fantasy so I could win something. Is your fantasy story similar to how you got into fantasy sports?
In a way, kind of. So, like, how I got into fantasy football, it was back in 2004. I was working at a pizza place with my best friend, his cousin. The place was owned by his aunt and uncle. And one day he just came up and was like, "Do you want to join our league? We're doing a 12-man league. We need one more." I'm like, "Sure, why not?" Like, I was already kind of getting over that trauma of the Browns leaving, coming back, still sucking. So he asked me to join. At this point, I never heard of the game before. I was like, what do I have to do? Like, what is this? So he broke it down. He explained it. Like, oh, I could do this. So I went to the store. Back in those days, we didn't have the internet. So I actually picked up a couple magazines and I was reading through the magazines, you know, doing my research, cramming, much information as I could. And then when it came to the draft time, it was after work one day at like 1 a.m. in the morning. And we all, after we closed the pizza place, we went into the pizza place bar and we all just sat around and started our draft. I had the number one pick overall, which was awesome. I actually won the championship with the most points scored that year. And I was hooked ever since. Like, I haven't stopped.
There you go. Winning right off the bat. Yep. That's a great athletic profile. Your first try. You did it. Do you remember who your first pick was?
I do. We'll get into that a little bit later.
All right. Fair enough. Ooh, that's a teaser. You see, a natural host already. You've watched so many Going for Two live streams. You're probably a way better host than you'd even realize. That's why you're even in the host chair, technically,
My second and third pick, though, on the turn, it was the combination of Terrell Owens and McNabb. And that was T.O.'s first year on the Eagles, so that was exciting.
Productive,
I'm pretty sure. I had one of the top five tight ends, maybe I think it was Tony Gonzalez. I think I got him with my next pick and so on and so on. Yep.
Fantasy Hall of Fame, too. Infamy for you, part of that first team. That's amazing.
Yep. Yep. I remember it being on Yahoo Sports, which I refuse to play on nowadays, but back then we only had what, Yahoo and ESPN.
It's funny. I still like using the Yahoo site. I actually think it's one of the best ones.
Is it? Oh, maybe I'll have to check it out again. I'm just used to Sleeper right now.
The sleeper MFL debate. You're definitely on the Sleeper side.
Yeah. I'm definitely not with the MFL at all. I think
I found the perfect tweet to sum it up for me personally, but go ahead.
I just remember playing the MFL with the Scott Fishbowl a couple years ago, and it was just so confusing to me. But I did hear once you get used to it, it really does benefit.
You have to click pre-draft, something pre-draft list in order to draft. So yes, I can see why that's confusing, because it's not really intuitive to where you have to go to actually draft. I'll be honest. Yeah, now I know that because I know it played it enough. You know what? I will say Scott Fishbowl is not so bad at MFL because you don't have to pay for it. Yeah. There's no site fee, so that's nice that MFL did that. Now, I guess the controversy recently was they raised their fees and that got people in uproar. So, So you're definitely on the Sleeper side. I thought I had a pretty smart tweet that summed it up. It was you're an MCU fan, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So at the end of Avengers 2, the very last version of Ultron, Vision finds him, and they're having a bit of a conversation. And basically Vision says, I suppose we're both a bit of a disappointment. And then broken down old Ultron is like, yeah, I suppose we are. And it just feels like Vision is Sleeper, the new bright, shiny thing. Like the Mind Stone was actually the Sleeper app all along. And he was asleep. They just needed to be woken up, right? And then, that broken down FL is that looks really old is the old last version of Ultron.
I love playing
Reality Sports Online, so I'll always champion that site. But.
When did you start playing Sleeper? Because I didn't even know it existed until about 2020, 2021, so 3-4 years ago.
So I'm going to say I think a couple years before that, I think my first Sleeper League was 2018. I wanted to join a pure dynasty league because my first dynasty league was a salary cap contract league. So I wanted to join like an actual like regular dynasty league. And I think I saw one on Twitter. Someone was advertising an opening and joined. And then hooked ever since to the dynasty form. Although I got to say joining RSO in 2015, that was a game changer to me. That's got me hooked to a whole new level. But yeah, Dynasty certainly a game changer. So yeah, I guess. So when did you first start Dynasty? You're saying Sleeper in 2020.
That was about 2019. I started studying it a little bit. That was like the first time I heard about it. And then I think 2020 was my first year actually playing it.
And so you would have gone right to Sleeper immediately. Your first Dynasty League.
Yeah, first Dynasty I went to Sleeper. Before that, I was playing on this site called RT Sports. Real-time sports, and I played on that too. 2006 or 7. That was my first year. I didn't know they did anything besides redraft. Like, I didn't even hear about Dynasty until, 2020. So, with RT Sports, though, I was in the top, 300 players on that whole site for years. I've won over 35 championships. I'm pretty sure I sent you my screenshot of all my titles.
I think so.
I'm pretty sure it added up to 30-35 titles in 10 years,
right? I remember after I think I let you know I was using the site for some playoff stuff,
and then last year
I mentioned it on the podcast, I think, actually, the FBC Fantasy Pod.
And I kind of stopped using it last year. I only did one league, which I won, obviously.
Of course.
I haven't paid for a league on RT Sports since 2012. I just keep using my winnings and just.
2012 was the first year I played fantasy football. So yeah, I can think of a lot of fantasy teams I've drafted since then. So yeah, that's a lot of bad trades. Good wins too. Some really bad redraft trades too. Like, not even dynasty trades where I mess my team forever, just catastrophic redraft trades at times.
Oh yeah. Don't get me started. Like, before I even knew what I was doing, I traded one of my top running backs for Kelvin Benjamin. That did not work out too well.
First dynasty startup, 4-year contract, Kelvin Benjamin. And he tore his ACL immediately.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it was right after his great rookie season, and then just never lived up to that. I think he had 1,000 yards as a rookie, so I bought in. I got him and Jordy Nelson. Both tore their ACLs, I think, like the same day or the same weekend.
Oh, man, that's painful.
I still made the playoffs in that league, so there was at least that. I fought through. I think RB1 Adrian Peterson and QB1 Cam Newton got me to the playoffs in a first-round loss. That's what that carried me to. Still searching for that title in that league. I'm the opposite of you in that sense. You're just winning off the bat and everything. My oldest redraft league, my oldest dynasty league. One in 2012, one in 2015. I think there's the two oldest leagues I'm still part of. Haven't won either.
Oh, man.
Won a lot of the other leagues I've joined since, but those two, nope.
Oh, your time's coming.
I've come close at times, too. Like, contract league, 2015 through 2018, I had the highest winning percentage. I finished third twice. So the only team to make the playoffs the first 4 years, and since then it's been a disaster. But that redraft league, a couple finals I was winning. One final where Aaron Jones touchdown by my opponent lost me the title. So that won the Packers the division and lost me the title. So I was so conflicted, it was hilarious.
Yep.
That's good. Has that ever happened to you as a Browns fan? Like, oh man, this Browns player just scored, but it cost me a fantasy title
I'm sure it has. I just kind of separate my fandom from fantasy, so I don't let it bother me as much.
I think that one in particular, it was a Monday Night Football game, and so it was magnified. It was the last game. It was the deciding factor too, right? So I was just so focused on it. Man. Still see Za'Darius Smith just destroying the Vikings offense, though. That's still a fun memory from that game. I'll always remember that. yes, we should continue on with the questions, unless you have more fantasy stories you love to reminisce on. Fantasy football section.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we'll start bringing them up later in the show. But
we couldn't get you just resist going right off the bat. Back to the life of Jamie Perogue. You got it right that time. Eventually. Took forever to get Dr. James Ferretti's name right.
That was
to get the first year on the 2-point conversion. But who in your life, Jamie, who have been your biggest influences?
So this is a tough question. I try to be my own person, but obviously people influence me throughout my life. My earliest one, again, I was 5 years old. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles came out. And that started my love for pizza and martial arts. So I continued doing martial arts my whole life. I did like Kenpo karate, American kickboxing, jujitsu, wrestling, boxing. So like all the way up until I was about 25, I was all into that, like MMA. So I did it for about 20 years. Life happens, you grow up. But I still eat pizza almost every week. So
pizza is pretty great.
It is, man. And it's just like every time I eat it, I always just think of that Ninja Turtles, just eating, smashing pizza every day. But realistically, like recently, one of my biggest influences really has been the fantasy football community. Like it started back in like 2019. I met this guy named Awan Sweet in a player profiler Roto Underworld group chat on Facebook. And he invited me to his Facebook group. And like, I remember in the chat, I was like, we're having back and forth conversations. And I'm like, damn, there's actually other people besides me that actually have intelligent fantasy football knowledge. Like, I didn't know this existed at the time. So me and him started talking. Eventually he invited me to his, Facebook group, and now I help run that group. I also met a guy named Chase Vernon from Fantasy Intervention. He started mentoring me, teaching me everything he knows about Dynasty, which was new to me at the time. And it was because of Chase Vernon that I actually found a passion for helping other people become better fantasy players, giving them advice like the best I could. And I've been doing it ever since. We had Allie in a chat earlier. Me and her are constantly messaging each other. I'm, you know, giving her feedback in my DMs and hundreds of other people's. Like, I met so many friends that I talked to daily. I met you guys here at Going for Two because of that. And that's why I'm sitting here talking to you tonight. So yeah, I look up to a lot of people in the fantasy football community, especially everyone at the Going for Two network. Like, you guys have been great. Like, I look at you as family now, and you guys make me better every day. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a super fun experience being part of this group, for sure. I think there's a lot of great people and a lot of, yeah, like you said, intelligent conversations about fantasy football, and a lot of different perspectives on it too. So that's always fun. You get really like a really wholesome view, just like just watching the live network, all sorts of different shows, several dynasty shows, and you'll get that just different people's perspective, different people's approach to dynasty and fantasy football as well. So a lot of great stuff. But yeah, I got to say, as made the earlier comment, you're always in the comment sections of Going for Two Live and also a bunch of other fantasy football and dynasty content on YouTube. You're constantly in the chats, constantly supporting those content creators. But you're also very great at like just – sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying I pay it forward. You know, like, I want to support people. Like, I see what they do for the community, you know, how it grew from way back before the internet days. So I just love being in the comments. That's actually one of my hobbies. Constantly just when people go live, I like to be in the chat. I like to hear what they have to say. I give my feedback, and, you know, once in a while I sound smart.
I try to go for that too. Make enough jokes and one of them will eventually make people laugh, or say enough facts, one of them will be true. But what definitely is true though, this is definitely a fact, is top of all that support you give, you also just are great at answering questions, whether it's the Going for Two Live Discord, which people can join for free, by the way. Just head over to goingfortwo.com. There's a Discord button there. Allow you to join. There's all sorts of great channels. You ask a question, Jamie's usually one of the first people that's answering, whether it's trade-related, draft-related, anything that Jamie can do to help. And I know just you and I have had some private DMs, and you've gotten very detailed, and you've got a lot of different tools you'll use. You'll look at people's roster ship through Sleeper and all sorts of things that you can just, oh, I can look at your league right now. You know, you can do this. And I've, you know, there's some other channels that do that very specific tailored advice that do allow you tools that look at a specific league. So not only are you generous with your time, but you're also applying a lot of important things that allow you to be really specific when you're answering questions. So I think that's great that you're someone who has access to all that and is willing to share that with.
Yep. Yeah. And I try my hardest, man. Like, Dynasty Planet is a good resource. You can just go and look at someone's roster. Dynasty Daddy is another one where you can look at the whole league. And then that's how I give them my information. Cause like, you can't just give someone proper information if they're like, do I trade this guy for this guy? Well, what does your team look like? So I ask them for their Sleeper
what
account.
What are the scoring settings? And like, there's lots of questions you have to ask before you can even start to think of an answer, right?
It's so yeah, I also try to get more detailed in my answers than just a generic, yeah, go for this guy because I like him better.
Yeah, exactly. And I know, like, you've even, yeah, because Dynasty Daddy's pretty recent website. I remember when it came out, you were really excited about that, and you were showing me some things and giving the link and showed like, hey, look your own leagues, and gives a good idea of, you know, whole league approach as well. See your opponents use really easily, and yeah, it's where everything stacks up and ranks up, and all sorts of interesting, neat applications to fantasy football. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love fantasy. Clearly, fantasy football is fun. I guess it can't be your only hobby, right? I wonder if this. Actually, no, that's the next question. But what are some of your favorite hobbies outside, of course, of the fantasy football
space? In my spare time, I like to just do puzzles or build Legos. So like the last puzzle I did, it was a NFL helmet shaped puzzle. So it was a little bit awkward putting together, yeah. But it's just a helmet shaped puzzle that has all the teams by their divisions. And I just got done with that. So I want to actually frame it and maybe put it on my wall. And then Legos, man, like the last Lego one I did was the Seinfeld apartment. And then I also did the Friends Coffee Shop. So basically I like to sit there and just like, you know, control it, put things together. And then
you love building rosters as much as models.
Yeah.
Legos and of Central Perk.
And then another thing I like to do is video games. Mostly I like to play like Madden, the UFC video games. I enjoy racing games. I really love boxing games. Just haven't found a good one recently. So I actually hooked up my PS2 and I play the 2004 Fight Night. So I'm still like, that was like, what, 20 years ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
20
years ago. Still a good game.
24.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like, I used to play video games too. Music eventually took too much space that I kind of went away from that. But like, really before I started playing guitar up until like 2005, 2006, yeah, I was playing video games quite a lot. And, found NHL 2003 was my favorite one. I would still just go back to it even years later. I still felt that was the best one to play. So sometimes they make a sports game that's just so good that they can't recapture it. And you know, okay, the graphics are better, but gameplay and so many things were better in that one. So yeah, I love NHL 2003 for that. You've got a 2004 boxing apparently. Both those sports haven't evolved since then.
Like, I always loved the Grand Theft Autos. San Andreas is one of my favorites, and that was back in 2004 probably too. So maybe I'm stuck in that year, but recently I did buy a game. It's called Mad Max, based off of the movie, and it's a combination of like a Grand Theft Auto meets Skyrim type of game, and it's really fun gameplay, and I've just been hooked on it. I think I'm like 15 hours in. But besides video games, puzzles, Legos, like fantasy football is my main hobby. But if you think about it, it takes all those other hobbies I like. Like, it's a game, right? You're putting pieces together to build a roster.
It's kind of a puzzle of, okay, I've got to set a lineup too, and there's, you know,
exactly. Yeah.
You got to fit guys in the perfect spot.
It was like, it's a combination of all my other hobbies. And like, I literally just thought about that. Like, I didn't even put it together until, you know, we're, you asked me.
Like, it was all just one big puzzle, and it finally fit together.
Yep, and you just got to build a complete team and win a championship, right?
Or put a good episode on like here. So
yeah, yeah.
Thanks for joining. Okay. So this is the question where it's like, okay, do I ask this? This could be really risky. This could be amazing. It's probably going to be amazing. So I think I have to ask it. Now, there's been a lot. There's over the years, all, and we could say years, because, yeah, the Armchair Fantasy Show alone, Jeff Lambert and Ryan Zierfoss for a lot of the time, they've been hosting that for years now. It's been, I don't even know how many years, 6, 7, 8 years. But, yeah, 4 years since the expansion of the network, and so many different shows came on the network in 2021. And really, since then, we've had more chances to have Jamie in the comments of shows randomly when things get out of control. Sometimes he just puts one wild comment in and just sets everything off crazy. There's been so many stories over the years. So are there any left, Jamie? Is there one thing, or, you know, among one thing, maybe there's multiple things. I mean, but, one thing that you want to share with us that the fantasy football community at large doesn't know about?
This was hard for me. But one thing specifically is, I suffer from this, it's called glossophobia, which is pretty much a fear of public speaking, which is kind of weird that I'm talking to the public now, but it's a very common phobia, and it's believed to be affected by 75% of the population. It's just for me, I had to overcome it, even put my face out there. So like you were talking about earlier, it's a little bit easier for me to be in the comments, kind of being myself rather than being on screen. But it was tough for me to just get over that fear, just because I love fantasy football and I wanted to contribute to it a little bit more. That's something I really fear. Like, I even back in the day, in college, when I had to give an oral exam, I actually transferred out of those classes because I couldn't do it. It's just something I couldn't get over until recently, when you guys kind of pushed me to do it, and I'm grateful for it. And I love doing it ever since. And it's still a struggle for me sometimes. But I just love talking football with all you guys. So here I am.
Funny because my wife's a therapist. I can hear in the other room actually, and she's avoidance, right? Like you completely change classes just to get out of that. Like that's an avoidance tactic try to help you get through that. But it seems like, you know, grateful that the Going for Two Life Network exists to be able to even reach out to be able to help. We always thought we were helping everyone with fantasy football advice, but to like actually make that impact, I think is again very grateful for Jeff Lambert for being able to.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
I think Jeff's the one to really thank for all this. This is his network. We come on here. It's rented space in a sense, and we appreciate everything that he's built for us to come on and share. But glad that you've been able to find that ability to share, because I think you mentioned like the comments easier, right? You're writing and speaking. You specifically mentioned it's public speaking, and so that was the one thing I was going to say is, has this just podcasting and live streaming, has that really helped with
It has helped but I still struggle every time I hit that button. Every time you go live, I always get that anxiety of fear of like, why am I doing this? Am I gonna mess up? Like my thoughts aren't gonna come out the way I want them to. So it still happens. I just get through it, and I have you guys to help. So a very great support system.
Yeah. Glad we can help. But you're so helpful to everyone that it feels like, again, it's everyone just helping each other out and lifting each other up. And I'm glad we can all be part of that fantasy infrastructure in a sense.
The next part, we're getting onto the fantasy football talk, right?
A host himself, even transitioning well. He even beat me to the punch. Great job, Jamie. You're taking over. I can feel the press coverage hit me down here. I wouldn't be a great receiver. I wouldn't be a great football player. But we'll talk about the fantasy football specific questions. Not that we haven't been talking for fantasy for half hour now, but yes. So Jamie, with fantasy football, do you have a preferred league format?
I do. I look for obviously Dynasty is my preferred format. I love the 12 team. Anything less than 12 team is just not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not tough enough for me, because everyone's going to have a good team.
The idea of scarcity isn't as apparent.
That's it. So I like the 12 team. I love the dynasty. I like to either 10 to 12 starting roster spots. And I love deep benches. I prefer the deep benches because it kind of takes away the waiver section of it, and it gets more people involved in trades. Like we were talking about before the show about your league with trades. I believe you have like a shallow bench. I know it's probably like 10 to 12.
I think it's 12 or 14 bench
spots. Yeah, no, I love like 30.
Yeah, I think it's 10 starters, 12 bench spots. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like 30 total rosters at least, plus a taxi, so like 34 deep in a 12 team league. I actually have one league that was 38 roster spots, and it's 12 team. It's just like I said, it takes away from the waiver, makes people more involved in trades. People are more likely to overpay for rookie picks, and it's just the aspect of getting the league involved more than just, I can go pick this guy off waivers instead of trading for this guy.
Would you say trading is one of your favorite reasons?
Oh, I love trading.
You mentioned Dynasty especially, right? Is your favorite.
Yeah. And like I said, it's super flex, whether it be Dynasty or redraft. I prefer having the third round reversal. So it kind of gives like the whole league more of a fair shot to get talent. So instead of the number one pick, if it's not a third round reversal, I want that third round pick so I could have three top 24 people, And then I did find out like without that third round reversal and I have one of the later picks, I'm more likely to build for the future as opposed to win now, because I'm not going to win that year with the 12th pick without a third round reversal in a super flex.
The smartest thing is almost to trade out of that spot, really.
Back,
you're going to be going rebuild anyway. Okay, trade back, accumulate future picks, and just keep trading back.
Yep.
I went through a startup like that where I made one pick in the first round, and I think it was the turn. So 114 I picked, and then I didn't pick again until like the early fifth, and it wasn't even my own pick. I just kept trading back and hey, give me future first, give me future picks, and I think that team still sucks. So.
Yep.
It's just you got to pick the right player still, though, when you eventually do pick them. Certainly there's so many different ways to build a team in Dynasty and Redraft. Everyone's trying to win, and you can win through different strategies, but the directions are all the same in Dynasty. All sorts of teams rebuilding, going forward, and that also creates movement, right, with trades. Yep. You find a lot of fancy trades happening in your leagues near the playoffs, especially as teams are kind of figuring out, are they going to make it, are they not? As teams fall out of contention, is that like a time to pounce?
Oh, yeah. Like as soon as you reach week 12, 13, you kind of have a good picture of who's going to make playoffs. So if I'm not going to make the playoffs, I'll trade away like my older assets to those guys, and I'll just start accumulating more draft picks or younger players that could help me more in the future.
And I got to give you credit again. I love having you on, right, by the way. But this is episode 41. And there have been a few, but I would say very few guests that have actually answered format first. Not to, again, it's all about how do people want to answer this. But originally I used to ask, what's your favorite format? And then like, what are specific settings you like? And people would go straight to Superflex in the format. Then when they get to settings, they realize, oh yeah, this was supposed to be a settings question. Because like, you know, Superflex, it's a lineup setting technically. Whereas format is, you know, redraft, salary cap contract, keeper, Dynasty, and your first word was Dynasty, so you nailed the question perfectly, Jamie. So,
oh yeah, love my Dynasty.
Got into existence as great as you could.
So like last year, I think I was in 24, 25 Dynasty leagues. I only had like two or three redraft leagues.
Okay,
so five years ago, I was in two or three Dynasty leagues and 20 redraft leagues. So I kind of flipped the script on it.
Yeah, all the RTS ones, right? Top 300 there. Must have really kicked some people down in those leagues, a little bit like 300. Yeah. But yes, so I've skipped over the settings question, because actually, once you did answer the format, you went into a lot of different settings you like, even to not just league construction, but draft settings too, with the third round reversal. Oh, I was going to ask a question about that, so I will go to that now. Do you think, I've usually seen third round reversal dynasty drafts, but I think maybe now it's becoming more and more common in redraft. It sounds like you certainly advocated even for redraft, where I think it is a less common of an idea, right?
Yeah, if it is super flex, I believe it has to be that third round reversal. And the Scott Fishbowl kind of got me into that mind frame of the third round reversal and redraft too. So before I started playing the Scott Fishbowl, I in redraft, I had no clue what the third round reversal even was. So,
okay. So now we know, and now it's trying to institute it everywhere. Now, and if you want, that can apply to this next question, but it was going to be, what's one setting that you have to have in every league?
Yeah. So the one rule I have to have in all my leagues is I have to win. No, I'm kidding.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I don't know if that'll get passed. Do I really want to vote in favor of this? I mean, I want to rebuild forever and have the sexiest team. So this wouldn't make me feel so bad about doing it. That's for sure. I'll vote for it. And Jamie gets two votes.
Yeah, no, but my number one rule has to be no trade vetoes. I refuse to play in a league with trade vetoes. If two consenting adults agree on a trade, let them do it. Now, if it's clear collusion, then I will give those players like an opportunity to explain why they're making this trade before I kick them out.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's ways to combat that, specifically commissioners. I mean, that's why commissioners are there, to kind of enforce things like that. The most egregious, of course, of all the fateful, dreadful sins of fantasy, right? From Hades is those who collude. say Thor or Vision. I don't know. But yeah, the one thing I especially don't like about trade vetoes is that usually there's a time limit too, right? Like it's okay. Yeah, not so only a time delay, I should say. Mm-hmm. But like, not only is there like the fate of does this trade go through or not in the hands of these people, I actually have to wait for their decision too. So
yeah, like, yeah, it's like a 2-day waiting period. It's like, we're not buying a gun here, guys. We're just trying to trade these players.
And that was the other thing. You said consenting adults. To be fair, like, kids trade marbles and Pokemon cards. At least that's what I did when I was a kid. Always trading, right? So, like, consenting humans. Like, I think children should also be allowed to make trades if they want. I think people tend to diminish the opinions of children. Oh, you're not smart enough. You're not ready. Kids are getting smarter and smarter every day.
Yeah.
More access to more information through the internet, of course, has really helped too. Each generation seems to be less and less discriminatory and more open of just the human concept being very complex and not so structured and straightforward either. But so I also trust kids' opinions to trade, right? And if we can trust children to do it, we should certainly trust adults to be able to do it, right? So yeah, I agree like that too. But like, I don't want to be navigating, I better make this trade before I go to work Friday morning, because if I wait till after work and it's Friday 4 p.m. and they play at 1 p.m. Sunday, that's 48 hours is too late. I won't get them by the time to put them in my lineup, right? Like, that's, shouldn't have things like that in fantasy football. You should,
exactly. Again,
you're so pro-trade that it would make sense that anti-veto is such a high stance for you, because you want to encourage activity in as many trades.
Yeah, and like I was playing in a home league on the RT Sports with a bunch of friends from work, and they still to this day have that trade veto. So I refuse to play in it anymore. I think 2 years ago was the last time I ever played in it. But when I was playing in it, every time a trade went through, asked for my vote, I always voted no, just because I can. I don't want to make your team better. I don't want to make this team better. I want to win. So yeah,
if they're making moves and not me, I'm not getting my team's not improving.
Well, I am going to automatically vote no, no matter what. Even if it's a fair trade, I don't want your team to be better to, what if you're in my division? Of course, I'm not going to.
Trading for need. Like, I need a specific player this week and you want to block them from that.
Exactly. So I just think that's a stupid rule, and get it out of fantasy football.
Because you're not even so ethically opposed to it that I would always vote yes, allow trade. I'm gonna get the competitive edge. I just find that really annoying. So I don't want the temptation to have to be able to take their trade away. Yeah. Always trying to win, right? Yeah, that's JB.
Yep, exactly.
Always an edge, right? Now, I don't know if you've done a lot of winning, if this will impact these questions here. The all-time fantasy team. All-time QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1, and tight end 1. Go ahead, Jamie.
All right. So my all-time favorite quarterback, never had him on a fantasy team because I didn't play fantasy when this guy played. But it was my all-time favorite quarterback, and it's Dan Marino. Way before my time of playing fantasy, but it was my time growing up. I got to watch this guy. It was during a time where their league was more run-centric. And he was a passing maniac, and he didn't even have elite receivers, and he would still bust out 5,000 yards a season with however many touchdowns he threw. I can't imagine back then playing fantasy football, having this guy on your team as your quarterback, what an advantage it would actually be to have Dan Marino as opposed to anyone else in the league.
Yeah, for sure. When he was the only one throwing 5,000 yards, everyone else was struggling to even get to 4,000.
Exactly. Even his touchdowns, he just blew it out. So, yeah, that's my number one quarterback.
Funny, when you said going all the way back, is he going to say Otto Graham just because of the Browns? But, yeah, maybe not quite that far.
here's what we talked about earlier. My 101 first ever pick, 2004. My favorite running back of all time, LaDainian Tomlinson. So, I said, I had the number
one. Well done.
One.
Well done, sir. Oh, we all know the legend of LT.
At this time, I had the 101, and after doing my research, I was stuck between Priest Holmes and LaDainian Tomlinson. And I'm pretty sure Priest Holmes got hurt that year. So
Which year was this, Jamie? It was
2004.
Ooh, okay.
Not sure, but I know LT had a great year that year. He helped me win my championship, obviously. He was my first draft pick ever, and I'll never forget him for that, like helping me win that year.
Yeah, I thought because I don't think the legendary season of LT is 2006. Yeah, just looking at his 2004 stats. 1,335 rushing yards, 17 rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's not 32. Yep. But yeah, he still led the league in rushing touchdowns that year. And then on top of that, had 50 catches, 441 yards, so 18 total touchdowns.
Nice. Yeah, I just remember him blowing up and one of my favorite picks of all time ever since then. After that season, I don't think I ever got a chance to draft him again, but he was my all-time favorite fantasy running back for sure.
Yeah. Hey, won the title, right? And that's gonna be the things that help us. I mean, not so much the Dan Marino, but I'm sure, but yeah, that's the theoretical. Like, your brain's thinking so much, he would have helped me win titles then.
Yeah. Oh. So for my wide receiver, I was kind of debating. I was going to go Jamar Chase just because I named my son after him. And I love him. But the only reason I named
my son, Chase.
So when my kids are born, I always look at the rookie list and I pick out a rookie name that I like. And we name my kid Chase after Jamar Chase. But that's more recent. I wanted to go back and stick with the theme of my first ever fantasy team. So I drafted Mohsin Muhammad back in that 2004 season. Pretty sure I picked him in the sixth, maybe seventh round. He ended up being the number one overall receiver that year. So I will never forget about him. I'm pretty sure when I was on the Going for Two Armchair show, I picked Mohsin Muhammad as my forgotten player. Steve Smith got hurt that year. So that kind of elevated the targets to Mohsin Muhammad and became the number one overall receiver. And I'm pretty sure he was top five.
And he also had Terrell Owens on that team. So like your lineup was locked.
Oh, sorry. There you go. And Tony Gonzalez, I think, was on that team.
Right, so top five players across
the board. Top five players all across the board. Like, how lucky did I get? Or was it skill? No, that was luck.
I mean, I guess the luck would have been the 101. Did they give you the 101 because you were the newest to fantasy?
No, they picked it out of a hat. So
that's maybe where your luck went, but it seems like the one thing, if you have the 101, you can't bust on that pick. Like, you have to hit. Even if you don't get the number one overall player with it, you need someone who in the next season would still be an early first or mid first round pick. You need someone that is going to be stable. And I don't know if LT was the number one running back overall in 2004, but with those numbers, I guess, 18 touchdowns, he probably was. So even if he wasn't, someone else had an amazing season, but he would have definitely paid dividends on the 101. So you could have definitely made a bad pick there for sure. So you did. Good job.
Yep. So on my tight end, it's kind of I don't know if you'd call it a homer pick, but Jimmy Graham.
I thought you were going to go Gary Barnage.
No, not just for one season. Yeah, right. No, Jimmy Graham, I was always a fan of the Saints way before he was even drafted. As soon as Drew Brees got drafted to the Saints, what was that, 2005, 2006, something like that. But anyway, I started becoming a Saints fan. Like, why not? My Browns sucked. I'm pretty sure at the time the Saints sucked, but I was such a huge Drew Brees fan that I started rooting for the Saints. And then later on, they got Jimmy Graham. And I got to watch so much Jimmy Graham. He helped me win so many of my RT sports leagues because I've drafted him almost every time I can just because I love the guy. So that's kind of why I say it's a little bit of a homer pick. Even though I'm not from New Orleans or a true Saints fan. But yeah.
I wonder, like, loving Drew Brees, was this part of the LT thing, right? Like, he was your favorite running back, and like, man, he was getting thrown. Like, I even saw LT had a 100 catch season, I believe, with Drew Brees. I think it was 2003. So I think it was definitely when Brees was there. It was, I think Doug Flutie might have still been on the team, but I think it was post Doug Flutie when Brees was behind Doug Flutie. So I think Brees would have led to a lot of catches. So is that where the love, like, you're like, oh, he fed LT even through the air? That's why I love Drew Brees.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, I'm just glad that he didn't stay on the Chargers, because I would hate to be a Chargers fan this whole time. But I probably would have been, you know. It wasn't until he went to the Saints that I really started, you know, becoming a true Saints fan, just because, I mean, I like Drew Brees. I picked my quarterback. Yeah, he was on the Chargers for a second, but yeah, no, it's Drew Brees. He's the reason I love Jimmy Graham, I guess.
Yeah, and back to the Jimmy Graham, you were saying you were drafting him so many of those years where he was like either tight end one, tight end two. Because Gronk was around, Gronk was typically the one that was always going to be in the first round. I think there was maybe one or two years where Graham had such a good season that he would be a first rounder and maybe ahead of Gronk. But a lot of those years, he was like the second or third tight end being drafted. So
if I remember correctly, it was probably around like the third, fourth round of those drafts. It was, I wanted to say like 2012-ish, kind of when I started winning all my leagues. So
yeah, he was still those – like that's right around when he really was breaking out as the
So I do have a bonus all-time player. I know we're not going for two, we don't like our kickers, but it's going to be Phil Dawson. That is a true homer pick, because he was the best player on the Browns team for years,
better than Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas, yeah, but like fantasy wise, you know. We had
Joe Thomas doesn't score fantasy.
Yeah, we had Josh Cribbs on special teams, and you know, Phil Dawson as our kicker. So yeah, I was a huge Phil Dawson fan.
Didn't even get a Gary Barnage season most of those years.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, for Phil Dawson, I gotta go back and look, but he was probably our the highest scoring fantasy player for years on that team.
Oh boy. Oh, so sorry, Browns fans. Sorry, Jamie. And thanks for sharing Phil Dawson. Yeah, there's no, we've definitely had, I'm pretty sure, because I had Linda on for one of these episodes. We definitely did, I'm pretty sure I definitely added who's your kicker one all time as her question too. So I don't think you're the first to answer that question this way. So don't worry, Jeff can't be too bad. Going for two. But yes, I guess my favorite way to end, since I always end the episode this way, I've decided it's my favorite. Certainly hope the guests enjoy it too. It is talking about your favorite things, and we'll talk about the high fives. So Jamie, top five from five different categories. We're going to start with your top five artists or bands.
Obviously my all time favorite is going to be Eminem. I know ever since the late 90s, he was incredible, man. Like just the way he rapped, there was times where I remember the government was like boycotting Eminem, trying to get his music off and like off the shelves. It was just because it was so different at the time. And I know like there was a time where he was off his rocker pretty much. He was doing drugs. Those albums are not on my shelf right now. I mean, himself even said that those albums suck. So yeah, but even recently, he's actually coming out with a new one this year. Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, like they're all gonna do an album together. So Eminem, by far, one of my favorite artists. If you come after him, he will destroy your career. He's done it to so many people.
Also, Toronto Dave's here. Sorry, as you mentioned, destroy people's career. I'm going to do the exact opposite and do something cheerful and positive.
I love Toronto Dave, man. Oh, like you said earlier, I'm in chats everywhere. Yeah. I can't be in a chat without having Toronto Dave in it.
And he's the actual Canadian version of Jamie. He's an actual Canadian.
So yeah, my second, obviously, is going to be Tupac. We kind of talked about him on
number two, Pac, right? It's appropriately named and numbered.
With that whole Tupac theory of, is he alive? Yeah, well, even if he's dead, he's still going to be alive forever. His music is never going to die. He had more platinum albums after he died than he was alive. And just, he did a song with my other favorite. It's not part of my list, but Bone Thugs and Harmony from Cleveland. Yeah, so Tupac is definitely up there. My other one, this was revolutionary. Back in my skater days, when I heard Beastie Boys, I was like, what is this music? Like, it's just like rap and rock. Cause like, I love all kinds of music, rock and roll, heavy metal, all like rap. And I was like, this is a combination of all of it. Like, so they've been one of my favorites ever since. Are you a Beastie Boys fan?
Yep. Yeah, I like their music. I've got a couple of their albums.
So speaking of the all kind of different music, there's a Cleveland band that's pretty famous. I don't know how worldwide they are, but Mushroom Head. Have you ever heard of a group called Mushroom Head?
I feel like I have heard that name before, yeah. I'm not too familiar with their music, unfortunately.
Now, back in the day, in the 90s, they were unknown. It was just, you know, Cleveland band. But they kept growing and growing and growing. And they were kind of revolutionary, too, in a way where when they did their live shows, there was this female named Roxy. She would be completely, pretty much buck naked with tape going on her nipples. And obviously they would fall off later, but she would just be dancing around the stage naked. Their Halloween shows are amazing. They would just dress up in full makeup, gear. There was a guy named J-Man who was the leader, like the lead singer. He went on to do his own bands, but then they brought in another lead singer. It wasn't as good as J-Man. Then like J-Man also comes back and does Mushroom Head shows here in Cleveland. And I always try to go to them once in a while, but you know, I'm kind of older now. I can't get into that mosh pit mentality where I used to be a beast in the mosh pit. I would like stand in the center of it and I'm only like 140 pounds and people would like try to come at me and I would just use my jujitsu skills to just throw them off me and just keep rocking and throwing elbows. And no, it was a good time. Like I let off steam during those. So yeah, I love Mushroom Head. Got to give them a shout out. For my final high five, I love this female artist. She was an artist and actress. Have you ever heard of Aaliyah?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, she died.
Yeah. So RIP Aaliyah.
That's so long ago. That's even more than 20 years ago, wasn't it?
It had to have been around the 2002, 2003, 2004 era. I don't know exactly, but
right around when fantasy football started, right?
Yeah. She was in so many good movies also. Like she was in a Jet Li movie. She had that song like Dust Yourself Off and Try Again. Like if you fail, yeah, you just dust yourself off. But unfortunately, she was murdered I don't know about murdered, but she would have been the next Beyonce.
Another conspiracy theory. You didn't do that one on in no particular order episode from a couple weeks ago. Which
yeah. So, I mean, if you look at the time that she died, like she dated Jay-Z and then Jay-Z started dating Beyonce and then Aaliyah died. Coincidence?
I don't know. Toronto Dave just unpeeling layers of this conspiracy too. This, yeah, we missed the boat on in no particular order. It is on this week, however, if anyone wants to watch another live mock draft. I believe it's this Thursday. They're mock drafting sports movies. So we'll see if my favorite sports movie gets drafted or not. To find out. We'll return back to this show in the second top five. Jamie, next is top five books.
I got a shout out. This book is called Aggressively Human. It's a newer book that just came out recently. It's written by a former Cowboys and Raiders offensive lineman, Steve Wright. You can look up his career. It's amazing. He was actually in that play where Tony Dorsett ran for that 99.5-yard rushing longest record play. He was in on that play. I believe he was blocking for Bo Jackson and other amazing people. But he did this book. It's all about his life. It's pretty much like a memoir, and it like navigates the intersections between like aggression and empathy without losing yourself as a human being. There's a whole bunch of fun behind the scenes stories, like just about life of an NFL player and stuff that I don't even want to talk about now, but him and his wife.
Keep the book, people. Aggressively Human. Go get it. Yeah.
Aggressively Human. I'm talking.
You're doing a great piece.
This is such a great book. Like, I was hooked as soon as I started reading it, beginning to end, man. It's such an easy read also. And Steve Wright's such a great guy. Like, I've been talking to him. I actually have an autographed copy he sent me. It's called Aggressively Human. And if I turn to the first page, he actually wrote me a little inspirational message. And actually, I had him on a podcast and talked to him.
I was going
to
say, IDP guys, right?
Yep. Yeah. So great book. I recommend it. You can get it on Amazon. You can even contact Steve Wright himself, and he'll send you an autographed, personalized copy. Wow.
What a great guy. What a great human.
Yep.
Aggressively Human. Nice.
Aggressively Human. So my next book, I want to give another shout out to Dr. James Ferretti. It's called Injuries Suck, But Your Fantasy Team Doesn't Have To. So he pretty much analyzes and like gives us information on different types of injuries, different levels, how it affects the player at their position. It's a great book. Teaches us fantasy players on how to navigate injuries on all kinds of sports, not just football. And got to give a shout out to James Ferretti. I love him.
There's some like really good draft theory as well on injured players. He's got a whole chapter dedicated to like how his draft strategy works. It's so many different facets of that book too. And that's an easy read. It's like 100 pages.
Yep.
You can fly through it, and it's great. And it's so much information. It doesn't.
You can even get the audio version. I believe it's read by him himself.
All right. Yeah. What a great voice too. We'd love to have Dr. Ferretti as part of the Going for Two Live family.
So yeah, my next book, this is a book I buy every year. It comes out yearly. It's called The Fantasy Black Book.
Okay.
It's by Joe Pisapia. So it's pretty much like the ultimate fantasy football draft guide. It breaks down the relative position values, IDP positions, like quarterback, running back, wide receiver, obviously. It also includes kicker and defenses if you're into that nonsense. But yeah, like each chapter is written by a different analyst. It includes like Joe Pisapia himself, Derek Brown, Andrew Erickson does a chapter, Nate Hamilton. He's a great guy. And then obviously the IDP genius himself, Scott Bogman. He's the one that kind of got me interested in IDP, honestly. So yeah, he does a chapter, and it's a great book. Like, I buy it every year, and then it updates. If you get the Kindle version, they'll update it in August. So you get like, updated after the draft and stuff like that. So it's a good book. I actually, been taking ads out the past couple of years. I took one out for the Fantasy Intervention for Chase Vernon. Last year I took one out for Jeff Lambert at us here at Going for Two. So we'll see this year if I can afford to put in another ad for us here at Going for Two. But yeah,
maybe that's something a few of us chip in on. I'd certainly get it on that.
Yeah, there we go.
Because that was the other thing I was gonna say. It seems like that's also a great place to get ads for in the fantasy community.
People want to be part of and it's awesome because like if you get the Kindle version, there's a link to our website. Click on that link and.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely contribute to that. We can post that idea to Jeff in the group chat or something. And
all right, perfect.
We can pull our weight here. Yeah, it's great. Again, courteous of Jeff to let us use this and be able to host shows like this.
So, yeah, my last three books, they're all about football. I'm going to switch it up a little bit. I'm a big Terminator fan. So there's a three-book series called The Terminator, The John Connor Chronicles. And it takes place a couple years after the second movie. And it's what truly should have been what the third movie should be about. Like, we should just get rid of the third Terminator movie and just make this book a whole movie. Pretty much, I actually got all three copies. It looks a little bit like this. There's a three-book series. And they, I don't know how to explain it, but instead of sending back a Terminator that saved John, he sends back enhanced humans. So kind of like that new movie, The New Fate, that's probably where they got that idea from, is this book. And this book was written like way back in the early 2000s.
So like right around when Terminator 3 came out.
Exactly. So like, so that's one of my favorite book series. Another book series that I have to throw out is it's another Terminator book series called the Infiltrator series. I also have that one right here. It's a three book part series. Now this gets a little more in depth of where the Terminator came from, because like, you know, the Arnold character that the Terminator was skinned from.
Actor named Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, so but in his
he was
book,
a bodybuilder. That's why they based it off him, because he was strong.
But in this book series, you actually meet the real Arnold Schwarzenegger, like the guy that he was a former CIA agent.
Predator Arnold
Schwarzenegger. So him and Sarah Connor actually like get involved in a romantic relationship while Terminators that look exactly like him are trying to kill them. So yeah, that was pretty interesting series. I recommend both of them, but if you only read one, I would probably recommend the Infiltrator series.
Interesting. I know Toronto Dave says he's a big Terminator fan. I do enjoy the movies as well.
Well, here's the transition. We're doing our top five favorite movies next.
Of course.
Yeah. So my all-time favorite movie is the Terminator movie. Like,
I guess I planned it well, books than movies. Yeah. Apparently you do that.
I like all of them, don't get me wrong, but the original is my all-time favorite, just because you see like the young Sarah Connor transition into what she became. Number one and two are definitely my favorites. And that's why I love these two series of books, because both of them kind of take place right after, like 2-3 years after Terminator 2.
Kind of like when Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, the TV show.
There you go. That's another one. If we're going to do top five favorite TV shows, that would have been in my top five.
Okay, there's a clear pattern here.
Yeah, like I literally just got done watching that whole show. I rewatched it about a month and a half ago. So
there you go.
Second favorite movie definitely would be the Rocky series. Definitely one and two are my favorite, but I would say again the original number one. Just like the Terminator, original number one is my favorite.
They're creating the characters and they're creating the universe. And you seem to be, again, with your roster building, right? You love from the ground up of creation of things. So you love,
and they're still making them.
Directors create a whole universe, create characters from the ground up.
And like 30 years later, they're still making them. Or no, 40 years later. Jeez, it's been that long. They're still making new ones.
Did the first Terminator come out in 1984? Did that come out?
1984, yeah. I was like 5-6 years old. Again, one of my first earliest memories was watching the Terminator with my dad on VHS. So, like, what a great father to show your 5-year-old son the Terminator.
This is what time travel is. That doesn't matter. Just killer robots. It's just time travel, though.
Oh, man. Terminator, Rocky, obviously, like I could say those sequels to both of those can arguably be in conversation to be better than the original.
I know a lot of people would say that, especially about Terminator 2.
Yeah. But you don't get that a lot with movies. Like the sequels usually suck even worse. So So yeah, Terminator, Rocky. My third one is this movie called Warrior. Have you ever seen Warrior? It's a mixed martial arts movie.
Okay, I don't think so. No.
It's about two brothers. They have different last names. They're estranged from each other. They never talk. One of them's a family man. The other one was in the army. He went AWOL. Started fighting in MMA. His older brother is the family man. He does MMA on the side of his security jobs, and they put together like there was a tournament put together, and then both of them ended up joining the tournament. They both ended up in the finals fighting each other. No one knew they were brothers until this fight actually happened, and it's just so emotional. Like I don't want to give it away, but it's at the end, it's so emotional. The older brother ended up like tapping out the younger brother, saying "I'm sorry" and crying as he's choking him out, saying "I'm sorry" like for everything that happened, because like there's a whole family aspect of it too. But you have to go watch it. It's a great movie. One of my favorites.
Warrior. Okay, thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, it's called Warrior. I don't know the actors' names, but you might know the actual main character. You've probably seen him in a couple other films here and there.
2011?
Yeah, because it was right around where MMA started becoming really popular.
Joel Edgerton and Tom Hardy. So Tom Hardy, he's like in Inception. He's the guy that plays Venom.
Yeah, Venom. That's it. That's the guy. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, go check that one out.
Someone from House, Jennifer Morrison. Oh, interesting. Sorry.
So yeah, my next one is also a fighting movie. It's called The Fighter. I'm sure a lot of you've seen it. Yeah. So it's with Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale. So it's based off a true story. Mark Wahlberg plays a fighter named Mickey Ward. And Christian Bale plays a fighter named Dickie Eklund. And this was based off of like after Christian Bale's character was kind of already retired. He was struggling with drug use, alcohol use, and all that. So it's pretty much based on a real life story exploring the complexities of family, drug addiction, pursuing your dreams. Obviously, famous actors, Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale. You can't go wrong with that. Funny story is the first time I ever seen it, I didn't know Christian Bale played Dickie, because he was like, he played the part well. Like he was so skinny, and this was after Batman, I believe. And he was so skinny, like you didn't even recognize him. And then I found out, I rewatched it, I'm like, oh, that's Christian Bale. He played Batman. He actually played John Connor in one of the Terminators.
Yeah, Genesis, I think. I can't remember. I remember watching that Terminator.
It was one before Genesis.
Salvation,
yeah.
That's where they started with the enhanced humans, too. There were some aspects of that in that.
Well. Yeah, yep.
I remember watching that. It was pretty decent, to be honest. Actually, that was pretty
good. I liked it. They were supposed to make a sequel to that, but they kind of went a different direction.
Genesis. That would be number four on the movie list?
Yeah, that would be number four. Yep.
All right, so one more.
Okay, so my last top five movies of all time. This has to be my most watched movie ever, and I'll give you the reason why in a second. Half Baked with Dave Chappelle. I'm sure everyone here has seen that movie. Like I had the VHS tape back in the day. Before DVDs were a thing, and I used to watch it constantly in high school. Like I'd pop it in and just watch it as I do my late night smoke session after my mom went to bed. So definitely my most watched movie ever.
Full Baked.
Yeah. Then the DVD came out. I bought the DVD, and then I realized on the DVD there was an alternate ending. So you know how he throws the joint off and she says, "You'll be back," and then he starts walking down the bridge, you know, the credits roll. Now, in the alternate ending, after the credits roll, you see him running back to the middle of the bridge and then jump over after his joint that he just threw over. So he actually picked weed over his actual human being, Love, which they were both named Mary Jane, but
one was a redhead and this was green, and he went with the green one.
So yeah, funny story. When we did Gladys did a romantic comedy.
Yeah, you picked that. I'm pretty sure you told the story there. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean it's romantic, you know.
It's comedy. Yeah, it's funny because the season premiere this year of In No Particular Order was like the day after Valentine's Day. So apt timing there. Not a big food holiday, but certainly the Super Bowl that was the earlier that week certainly was. So Jamie, what are your, sports are so huge, your top five favorite game day foods?
Okay, so my go-to is obviously pizza. Specifically, I like to do pizza with pepperoni, bacon, chicken, ham, jalapeno, and pineapple. So it's sweet, spicy, savory, all at the same time. Like people look at me like I'm crazy, just like you are now.
I like pineapples on pizza. I'm kind of like anything but onions on pizza. Could go with pretty much anything. I've like you need because typically you know in order from pizza place to get three toppings only and then anything else extra. If I gotta go with three toppings, I'll usually go with either a meat, olives, and pineapple, or just two meats and pineapple. Just the salty to sweet really rations itself out.
So like I mean I like the spicy, salty, sweet combination. It fits. My next one is wings, but they have to be homemade. I always make my homemade wings. Okay. Like they're flavorful, they're crispy. I never dip them in the sauce, I never like coat them in the sauce. I always have a side of sauce that I dip them in, because once you put that sauce on them, that crispiness disappears. Okay. And like my daughter loves my game day wings, man. She asked me just the other day if I can make them for her. So
yeah, sports on, it's not a game day.
Yeah, but no, I mean,
curling was on recently. If you're a Canadian, you would have loved curling. So.
Yeah. We don't have curling here in Ohio.
Funny, cause the US were in the world championships, but yeah.
So those are my two go-to. If I'm really feeling in the mood to cook, I make my famous big game chili.
Game James.
Yep. So I layer my chili when I make it. Like I have three different types of chili powder, fresh chili peppers, jalapenos. Like everything's got to be fresh. It can't be that dollar store spice. It has to be the actual like expensive fresh spice. And I never use garlic powder because I always put fresh garlic in it. But yes, it smells up my whole house. Everyone loves it. Like, can't beat my famous big game chili. But if I don't have time to make it, my other go-to is sub sandwiches. I just get a whole bunch of deli meats. It's cheap.
Yeah.
I usually go like roast beef, pastrami, pepperoni. If I'm really feeling like it, I'll get like a meatball sub. But I don't know how to really make meatballs myself. So I got to buy those like store-bought meatballs and cook them up. It's just not the same, but I don't do that often. It's just when I don't really have time. But when I really don't have time, I like to go Chinese food. So this is my last go-to, my Chinese food. I always get a variety of it because, you know, you can eat Chinese food all day. So I like to get like the mushu, like fu yang, kung pao, Szechuan. I get like 5-6 different things. And just eat it all day long while I'm watching football. So yeah,
I always game slots. That's a lot of football to watch.
Yeah. Yep.
Nine hours. And so, yeah, I guess we've got our final top five question here. Top five Jedi. It's interesting that this is the first mention of Star Wars so far, but top five Jedi.
What's happening? Yeah. So you asked me to come up with my top five. I had no idea what to do, man. I could have went far left and did something crazy. But I know we were talking about adding Star Wars last week after a show. So it kind of clicked. Like, let's talk about Jedis. My all-time favorite Jedi has to be Anakin Skywalker. He struggled so much with, like, just his feelings, like, with the love that he had for Padme. And he was influenced by the dark side. But during the Clone Wars is where you really got to kind of see who Anakin Skywalker was and the struggles that he really went through. So yeah, no, I got to give him props for that. And if it wasn't for Anakin Skywalker, you wouldn't have had another one of my favorite Jedis, Luke Skywalker. Like Luke, he was obviously the most powerful Jedi. I'm pretty sure they refer to him as the most powerful Jedi ever, right?
I still thought it was Anakin, but anyway, everyone else will lay claim to it in different ways.
So yeah,
it was Yoda.
Like I just can't help but think what would have happened if Anakin never turned to the dark side and he actually raised Luke and Leia. There's stories out there, like comic stories and comic books that actually have that timeline.
Their version of what if.
Yeah. So I just keep thinking like he would have been way more advanced and Luke Skywalker, man. But
he wouldn't have started his training at 19, right? He would have started so much earlier.
Yeah, he would have started as a young one.
Or he is the most powerful, because yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, he had that power like dormant in his body that whole time. And you wouldn't have think like when he was a little kid, maybe he like moved something. Like you wouldn't think he would notice that. Like, what am I doing?
Well, that's like maybe he never noticed it, right? Like it was always there, but he didn't even think it was possible. And then suddenly, like just having, you know, see, it's the gift you sent me earlier, right? Just seeing Ben fool the stormtroopers, right? Like really seeing the Force in action, I think convinced him. It's like, okay, that's interesting. This is the topic we're looking for, though. So, who is your number three Jedi?
It has to be Yoda. So funny story about Yoda is, did you know in the original Star Wars, the Yoda character was going to be played by a monkey in a mask carrying a cane?
Then they decided, you know what, a puppet is probably better.
Yeah. So I sent the picture to Jeff like a couple weeks ago, just randomly. I don't know. We were talking something Star Wars. And you can actually look this picture up. It looks pretty funny, and it probably would have ruined the whole series. I don't think they would have made a sequel if they would.
Well, I mean, he wasn't even in the first one, so that's why. He first appears in Empire.
But Yoda, man, like he was, 400, 500 years old?
He was actually
in the regime of, like, before.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Before episode one, like, he was in that prior universe. And saw all that happening. He also trained Luke Skywalker. And it was funny because I was watching the Clone Wars and there was an episode where Yoda went to, what do they call those? The Metachlorians?
Metachlorian count.
Yeah, he went to the universe where it comes from. And something kind of struck me weird because at that time, one of the Metachlorian power people were like, this is the guy that's training the person who is supposed to bring balance to the Force. But at that time, we thought it was Anakin. Mm. And then in the Clone Wars, they say Yoda was going to be the person to train him. So thought that was kind of an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, because Yoda never really, Obi-Wan really trained Anakin directly. Yoda never really got the effect. He would have trained most younglings like Obi-Wan himself, even Qui-Gon at a certain age, and then they get to their actual masters as their apprentice, and then they get more direct training. But Anakin kind of skipped right through that and went right to Padawan.
Yep. Can you imagine if Qui-Gon didn't die and he was supposed to train Anakin? Yeah. Maybe that he would have looked at Qui-Gon more as a father as opposed to Obi-Wan as a brother.
Yeah.
And then he maybe not would not have turned to the dark side. Yeah, it was like what ifs. So yeah, after Yoda, it's got to be Ahsoka Tano. Oh, nice. Man, if you watch Clone Wars, you will fall in love with Ahsoka Tano, man.
Dude, the Ahsoka Tano series has been amazing.
Yeah, I saw the first series. I think they're on season two, right?
It hasn't been released yet, but yeah.
I can't wait
for season two to come out. At least I don't think it's been released yet. It is. I better watch that now.
But even in the Clone Wars, you see her grow in those 3 years span. Just everything that she went through. Do you remember when Anakin surrounded her with the clones and then had her shoot? And then she was trying like to block the block everything. Like, that's why she survived Order 66. Is because Anakin taught her how to not react to the drones who are predictable, but react to the unpredictability of the clones. And that's how she survived Order 66. Because when she was surrounded by all those clones during Order 66, like she was killing it, man. There was like six or seven of them around her. And all of a sudden she jumped up, disappeared. And like, if it wasn't for Anakin teaching her that, she could have died easily. So got to give her props, man, for her training.
Back to your number one Jedi, Anakin. Good job. He's still carrying through.
Yep. So my last one, though, this is kind of a far out there one. Like, I recently found out when I was watching the Clone Wars, that there's Wookiee Jedi. I didn't know there was Wookiee Jedi.
Remember they show a youngling during
Clone Wars. There was a youngling named Gungi. I kind of wanted to give Gungi a shout out. You know, you saw him build his own lightsaber. It was one of the first wooden lightsabers that I've ever seen.
Yeah, same. That was pretty cool.
But he's not the one I want to bring up. I want to bring up Chewbacca's nephew named Lobaka. He was born, I believe, in the Empire Strikes Back era. Like, that's when he was born, and then he was supposed to like grow up. Like, he's not in the movies, obviously, but he's in comic book sections of it. But yeah, he's supposed to be like one of the most powerful Wookiee Jedis, and I would love to have seen him in some of the movies. They should have went that way, like have Chewbacca's nephew.
Now that Disney has it, they'll make so many of them that they'll probably cover every possible story.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was born on the events of the Return of the Jedi. So the number three or episode six.
Episode five.
Return
of the Jedi, episode six,
That's when he was born, and then
I guess like that that's like four BBY. I think. I guess how the years work, I can't remember. ABY.
Actually, I looked it up, and there's actually 10 known Wookiee Jedis in the whole universe. So I kind of want to look more into them.
Rare trait. I don't know if you ever played Dungeons and Dragons.
Never have. I used to make fun of people that have, and I feel bad.
So you can make fun of me now. But
well, no, I feel bad about it now.
Make every, there's races, but there's also classes, and classes kind of like what are the skills you have, whereas race is really just what your genetics are. You can technically pair, I think, most races with most classes, but there are certain. Well, if you're this race to this class, there's an advantage. I remember being a rogue, which is kind of like a thief, a spy type thing. Being a gnome, and because it's harder to be seen, there were certain advantages in some of the roles you'd make as a rogue gnome. So
like looking back at that game, I probably would have enjoyed playing it.
Skyrim, right?
I didn't RPG know anything game, about it. Like, I had no idea what it was. I was growing up thinking
nerds.
Yeah, people were like, it's a nerd game. And then Big Bang Theory came out, and they were kind of explaining it, and they played the game. And I was like, that's probably something I would have enjoyed because it's fantasy.
that type of fantasy. But yes, of course, so much of the fantasy football happens on this network, including the fantasy cheat sheet every two Tuesdays, which Jamie graciously co-hosts. I think you do a fantastic job there. Also, thought you did amazing tonight, Jamie.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. I love being here with you.
And you, you transitioned well. You were almost basically hosting the show as opposed to me. So it was great. And you were so good. Like, you did things you didn't even realize. Like, you actually, in a sense, and I'll promo it here, but the April episode of Press Coverage, I already got the guests lined up. April 15th is going to be the date. So we are, Monday, April 15th, going to have someone you mentioned as part of the Black Book writers. Andrew Erickson is going to be my guest for Press Coverage. So Jamie... Oh.
Dude,
Jamie Stradamus, awesome. Parag Stradamus. I don't know. Big Game James comes through again. But yes, I'm looking forward to that one too because Andrew's great.
Yeah, no, I love Andrew, man. Like, he doesn't know who I am, but I follow him a lot of his stuff.
I did happen to meet him at the expo, the first expo in 2019. So that was fun to connect with him there. And yeah, it's been great. So yeah, looking forward to that. But yeah, this was a great way to. Yeah, two fantastic guests to kick off the season, and then we'll plan, you know, more episodes through the spring and summer months. But yes, again, March 25th, we just got this in for March, Jamie, so thank you. Perfect timing.
Oh, thank you.
And, of course, thank you all the listeners, anyone who chatted live with us on the Going for Two Live YouTube page, Ali, Dave, some guy named Jamie, also seems to be a Browns fan. That's great. But yes, all the platforms. I appreciate all that. Jamie on Twitter at Jamie Parogue. So just your name. Pretty simple. I know, a little more complicated. I say Senra says. At least that's what I say. Very right. I guess I don't even really say it. I do say it. That's what I said. I just said it. So before I say too much more, I'll just again say thank you to Jamie and wish everyone a happy press coverage night. I don't know. But thank you, Jamie.
Welcome.
And yeah, thank you, everyone. This was another episode of Press Coverage.